Do y'all appreciate this special evening of songs and music and so forth? And we appreciate every one of you being here. I'd like you to find number 605 for our closing song tonight. Number 605. Tonight is our final evening service. And then tomorrow morning, Brother Jerry Smith will bring our final message. And have any of you people tonight thought there's power in this place? You know what the power is? The Spirit of God. And God can do things that the rest of us can't do. And so I'm impressed. And I do appreciate all the special music. And I appreciate all of you being here. And you know, it's been a very unusual week for the weather here. And in fact, my wife awakened me at 1:30 this morning and said, "Don, we don't have any power. We don't have any lights." And it was dark and cold. But the Lord saw us through. And I want to tell you this, though, that what we have seen and heard tonight is a representation of God's Holy Spirit working in people's lives that many people thought impossible. And you know, I can't help it. My mind goes back to the people's own conversions and so forth. And I would have to tell you that the first person that's here tonight that I influenced for the Lord is Jerry Smith, now Pennon. And I went to her hometown to preach the gospel in Monroe City, Indiana. And I hitchhiked most of the way there. You say, were you too poor to buy a bus ticket? Well, yes and no. But anyway, I bought a bus ticket, and I got bored. waiting on the bus. And so I went out and hitchhiked. And I got down to Missouri and bought another bus ticket. And so I got bored again. Back in those days, you could cash in your bus tickets. I don't know if they'll let you now or not. But anyway, I cashed in this bus ticket and went on and hitchhiked some more. Well, I got clear down to the middle of Missouri, and I bought another bus ticket to Vincennes, Indiana. And so then I started towards Vincennes, Indiana, and I got bored again. And what's the matter?
Your wife is telling me to move this way.
All right. She doesn't want to listen to me. Well, anyway, I caught a ride to St. Louis, Missouri. And I had another bus ticket. But I got bored. And I was just a kid. What? Yeah, 19 years old, and been in Bible college. I was on my second semester. And so I was pretty scared, to be honest with you. And so I was walking around the bus depot in St. Louis, Missouri, about 10:30, 11 o'clock on a Friday night. And they had a policeman on guard in the bus depot. So you automatically know it's not just heaven on earth. So I asked the policeman, I said, "Is it safe to hitchhike out of this town?" "Oh, yeah, sure," said. "Just go over here to the Mississippi River Bridge and hitchhike." So I went over to the Mississippi River Bridge, and I walked all the way across the Mississippi River Bridge there in St. Louis, and had a guy finally stop and picked me up, and he said, "Young man, I want to tell you something. You have no business hitchhiking in East St. Louis in the middle of the night." And he said, "I live over here, but," he said, I'm gonna go visit some relatives." And he said, "I'll take you as far as Salem, Illinois." So we got to visiting with this guy on the way. And he said, "I think I'll stop here in Salem, Illinois, and stay all night." So I said, "Very well. And I'll rent a room and you rent your room." "No," I said, "we'll share a room." Well, I wasn't real thrilled about the idea of staying all night in the middle of Illinois with a guy I'd never seen before in my life. So anyway, we went to bed And I awakened. And I prayed the Lord help me to wake up before this guy did. And then I said, I'll sneak out. So I was very quiet that morning. And I got dressed. And right across the courthouse yard was a drugstore. And yeah, I went over to that drugstore and bought another bus ticket. And so I got bored again. So I stepped out on the curb and hitchhiked. And just at the time, some guy stopped to pick me up. The guy I spent the night with, I saw him coming across the street. And I was scared. So anyway, I got in the car with this guy that stopped for me, hitchhiking. And he took me all the way to Vincennes, Indiana. Well, there was a guy in the church that was supposed to pick me up Sunday morning when my bus got there. But I had left, I don't know how many buses did I leave behind. But anyway, that's the way I went over there, and I preached, went over to Monroe City, Indiana, just 10 miles out of Vincennes, 150 miles east of St. Louis. And my sermon that morning was entitled, "The Devil's Drunken Brawl." And I read the entire fifth chapter of Daniel. And she thought, when is this guy going to stop reading out of the Bible? Well, there's the results. She decided she liked that preaching. And I could go through all of the rest of these people that are here. Ben Bradman, quite a memory I have of going to that town in Point Marion, Pennsylvania, and preaching a revival meeting in a pretty dead church. And in fact, we ended up and baptized one of the elders' wives and a couple of the deacons. Who else did we baptize in that meeting, Ben?
No, I don't
remember. That's been a while back.
You remember better than mine.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, and I still remember that as we were driving into Point Marion, Pennsylvania, that it was pouring rain. And we went in, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, "Oh God, help me to be able to preach something that will convert some of these people." And I don't know. We baptized some. Some were rededicated. This was an old church building. And they had a fence from that corner of that wall over to about here. and back to here, and then a door to get in. And that's where the preacher's supposed to preach. So I prayed again, the Lord helped me. And so I preached that Sunday morning, and they said, "Now, you want to be careful," because they said, "We are right downtown, and they blow the siren at 12 o'clock noon every day." And they said, "If they blow that siren, it's so loud and so close, you won't be able to get people to hear anything more." Well, so I tried. And I even stayed in the fence most of the time. Yeah, I guess I did stay in the fence all the time in the morning. And so I prayed to the Lord and I said, "Oh God, you've got to help me to get these people to come to a Sunday night and some midweek meetings." So God blessed me. And so Sunday night, there were about twice as many people stayed for the Sunday night service as ever did. And so I told them that night, I said, "I want to tell you guys something. I stayed in this cage this morning." And I said, "I'm coming out of this cage tonight, and I'm going to preach." And I preached to those guys, and God blessed. And anyway, as a result, Ben over here, and his mom and dad, of course, because you weren't very big. First time I came there, I don't know, how old were you? How much?
A teenager.
Yeah. So anyway, and you might say, "Well, you didn't come here to tell stories." Yes, I did. I came here to tell stories. But they're stories about people getting converted to Christ. And tonight, that's what I'm preaching on, and that's converting men. Converting men. And thank God for Ben Bradman. And I could tell you about the little church in Bethany, Illinois, where I went and preached and met Jerry Smith, and he, at that time, was either 5 or 6 years old. You remember, Jerry? You were 7? Oh, my math's not the best. But anyway, I preached that meeting. And that was a pretty dead church. And there was one of the young couples there that sat on the back row and made love to his girl while I preached. And another one of the, I don't know, what was the guy that always read the lookout during the sermon? Oh, brother. And so anyway, that's when I preached in Bethany, Illinois. And there he is. And, you know, I could just go on and on tonight and tell you about how I've seen the power of God do what I can't do and you can't do. And now I'm going to skip. This is 2014, and I started preaching in 1948. So you can see I skipped a lot of years. And some of these people get converted. And we are in the midst of a Bible study right now with a family that I invited this man to church and asked him for a Bible study. And my wife and I went to his house and we said, well, wouldn't your wife like to be in on this? Well, he said, I don't think so, but I guess we could ask. So we asked, and she said, yeah. And so she came in on our Bible study, and she liked it. And what's it been? 3 weeks ago, we baptized both of them. How much? Three or four. And then last Saturday night, we went out there for a Bible study. And their daughter, that's a junior in high school, was in a room. And my wife said, what about... I want to call her Chelsea, but that's not...
Lindsay,
yeah. Yeah, and so... Yeah, and they live out at Strasburg, about 40 miles east of Denver. And she's a cheerleader in high school there. And so anyway, my wife said, do you care if I go ask her? No, you go ahead. So Jerry went in and asked her, and she came out and sat in on the Bible study. And so I want to tell you that Almighty God can do things that I can't do and you can't do. And don't tell me that guy can't possibly be converted. Don't tell me that. Because I know that my God is more powerful than the devil. And so, let's keep teaching, preaching, and looking for opportunities to speak up for the Lord. And now I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 24. And I want to begin reading there in verse 47. Jesus Christ now is assembled together with his apostles. He has already been crucified, and he has already risen from the dead. And now he is commissioning his apostles. And in verse 47, he says, and that repentance for the remission of sins would be proclaimed in his name to the beginning from Jerusalem. And he said, you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in Jerusalem, the city, until you are clothed with power from on high. And Jesus Christ there was commissioning or charging his apostles to take the gospel to the whole world. And I've got to throw old Winston Churchill in again. And that is, in one of his speeches that he gave to a college group, the only thing he said was, never give up. And I forget how many times he said, never give up. But I want to tell you, you and I need to tell ourselves, never give up. You don't know what God can do. And I don't know what God can do. But in verse 47 that we just read, Jesus said they should preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And I'm here to tell you tonight that we need people to repent of their sins. And I want to say this tonight, that our nation is more filthy, more ungodly than it has ever been. And even many people in the world are upset about what's coming to America. And we've got preachers in the pulpit that are scared to preach against sin. You think that's right? And I'm here to tell you something tonight, that people can put a lot of pressure on preachers to quit preaching. Don't preach it. Don't name sin. Well, I want to tell you, John the Baptist, in fact, I'm going to tell you tonight that at least half of my Bible studies are living in adultery. Either now or have been before we started the study. When I started out preaching, people didn't live like that. But I want to tell you that living together, not married, is adultery. And have you people ever read what the Bible says about adulterers? They're among the group that's going to hell. And we're not supposed to preach on hell. But I want to tell you tonight, there may be some of you people right here that if you died tonight, you would be in hell before the sun comes up in the morning. You've probably heard this, but old Billy Sunday, and I don't agree with all of his doctrine, but they say that Billy Sunday came out on the platform one night and he just yelled, "Fire!" You guys heard that story? Yeah. And they said, "Where?" And he said, "In hell, where you're going. If you don't repent." And he named a bunch of sins that were prominent among the people in Chicago. You know, Chicago, you could have a little more preaching again. You know, they've got one of the highest murder rates of any city in America. And they've got the strictest gun laws in Chicago, they tell me, of any nation, I mean any city in America. And so let me tell you this. You want me to tell you how to stop murder? Get people converted to Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something else that breaks my heart. And that is, we've got preachers preaching today and I've heard them talk. You see, I've got a lot of preachers in my family. Not my kids, but preachers. And I've heard them talk. And they're good guys. I like them. But they say, we're out to get people to make them church members. And after my mother died, my dad came to visit us. And I was going to go on a Bible study Sunday afternoon with one of the young girls that was in on our study. We had, on this one Bible study that I had, they told me, pardon? Six of them, yeah. But anyway, the men of the church there had told me when I moved there, they said, you'll never be able to convert anybody in this town because the third preacher back from me had a licentious relationship with the church secretary of the church there in Garing. And I said, I don't want to hear it. Because I'm going to teach and preach. So anyway, I had this Bible study going with these six people. And I don't know, they had their kids there. And they were all their kids were pretty good sized, and so anyway, on Sunday afternoon there was a girl that was a girlfriend of one of the Khan families. And so I asked my dad, he'd come up to spend a little time with us after my mom had died. And so I asked my dad, I said, well, would you like to go with me on this Bible study? Well, yeah, he said I would. So I took my dad. And as we were coming home from that Bible study, and my dad had been an elder in the non-instrumental Church of Christ for several years. And he said, Donald, you know, there's one thing different about you and the church. He said, you go out to convert people, and we go out to make church members. And I'm here to tell you tonight, we need people converted. And I don't know how many times I've gone out on a Bible study and the people have said to me, now, you're not going to try to convert me, are you? And you know, I don't tell them, yeah, I am here to convert you. But I think about what Jesus said in Matthew 18:3. Unless you are converted, you'll in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And so I just want to tell you this tonight, that it's going to take the power of God, and it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives to bring about conversion. And now I'll tell you what, after I got converted, I loved to go to church. And before I got converted, I went to church. I can tell you that I could count on one hand the church services I missed while I was growing up. And I sat through church services that were boring. And I want to tell you that we need to convert men. And you might say, well, God does that. Yeah, that's right. But God has committed the work of preaching and teaching God's word to whom? Who? Anybody want to say me? You want to say God has committed to me the obligation to preach and teach and strive to reach people for the Lord? Do you guys think we have an obligation? I want to tell you something. I am under obligation to preach. I didn't go to some of these places that I told you about tonight because I had to. I went there because I had a burning in my heart. And it wasn't a burning in my bosom like you know who likes to get. But we need some people that have their hearts set on fire for God. And let me say this tonight, that life is passing. Life is passing. And most of you have heard that when we went out to Oregon, and I was going to preach in several churches out there. I think I had six churches scheduled, or at least planning. I can't tell you all the details. But anyway, my wife and I had decided that we were going to wait till later in the summer to fulfill all of that. So we flew out to Oregon and went down to Reedsport and preached on the rally there, and then went over to Coos Bay and preached Sunday morning, Sunday night over there. Well, my wife slipped and fell in the front yard of one of the elders of the church there, and she had a leg that looked horrible because she had twisted her leg and sprained it. And we went to the emergency room that night in Coquila. I don't know, you guys from Oregon. Yeah, thanks, brother. I probably won't ever get that down because I've heard that several times. But anyway, I was pretty upset when I saw what had happened to my dear wife. But then, I think it was what? We went to another the emergency room after we got home from Oregon, and I took my wife to the doctor when we got back to Denver, and the doctor said, you are so low, your blood pressure, that the doctor said, you're going to go to the hospital today. And she said, your husband can't take you because I'm not allowed to let you leave my office unless your blood pressure is over 100 on top. And I forget what the other one was. But anyway, her blood pressure was down, I don't know, what was it, Jerry? 88 over 33. And so we spent 2 hours in the doctor's office giving her intravenous feeding. Yeah, that's what I told the doctor that. And so anyway, the doctor worked with my wife, and finally she got her blood pressure to 101, 102, and she said, go. And so we went. And you know, my wife's always had better health than I have. And it hit me. Yeah? And after we spent 2.5 days in the hospital, the doctor told us, he said, if you don't stay on top of this, it can be fatal. And for the first time in my life, I realized my wife's life was on the line. And I want to tell you that none of us know, because she's always been the healthy one in my family, and she can probably, I don't know about she could outrun me or not, but well, I mean, you people know she's been pretty active. But I want to tell you something. I'm a dying man. I live with a dying wife, and I'm preaching to dying people. And we only die once. And my question to you tonight is, are all of you in this audience, are you ready to die and to face God? And are you trying to win the lost? I want to say two things tonight. Number one is Jesus himself preached repentance. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 through 5. And this is Jesus preaching. And he preached on a subject that isn't too popular. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse sinners than all the men who live in Jerusalem? Verse 5. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And you might say to me tonight, preacher, don't you know you're preaching to the choir? You're not joking. I know it. And I love preaching to the choir, because I know that the choir is human. And I know that the devil, if he can silence the choir and the preacher, he's got a lot of people buffaloed that'll never make it to heaven. And so I want you to know tonight, we need to preach repentance and convert people to Christ. And Christ demands full surrender. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Now, I'm not the powerful preacher that Brother Word was. But some people used to ask Brother Word, well, how is it that you have brought so many people to Christ? And I don't know, I guess I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, I just tell them, I go out and start stirring in the manure pile. And he said, I generally find several folks out there. And that's what he said. And I want to tell you, you and I are here tonight, and we may... And you do. You guys all look pretty good to me. But I want to tell you that we can be ungodly down inside of our hearts. And somebody brought it out here today, and I don't even remember which one of you said it, but that there is actually more problems with preachers hooked on pornography than any other one thing. And I also know that in Denver, we had a man that was hooked on alcohol, and he went to several of these recovery meetings, and he personally told me, he said, do you know what the majority of the people in those meetings are hooked on? Not alcohol. Porno. Porno. And television. And computers. Have hooked many men, and probably even a few women, I don't know. But my statistics that I've read are on men. And so, yeah, you may sit here tonight and tell me, yeah, you know, we're pretty good folks. I just want to tell you this tonight. We need to stay out of the manure pile. And I don't know, one of you was telling me today that computers, and I've heard this repeatedly, computers will bring more filth into your home than a television set. And so even if you don't own a television set, and you own a computer, you can bring all kinds of filth into your house, into your heart. And we need to live pure. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Do I like saying what I said tonight? Not really. Jesus said, though, that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. Second thing I want to say tonight is, why convert men? We have churches that are worldly. And they have people that need to be converted. And in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus spoke to the church in Ephesus. And was the church in Ephesus a pretty good church? I think it is. Let me read you a little bit. He says, I'm in Revelation chapter 2. "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you have put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary." Now, what's verse 4 say? "I have this against you, that you have left your first love." And I want to tell you this tonight, that if you're in this audience and you don't love the Lord, you don't love to go to church, you don't love to pray, you don't love being with God's people, you know, you need to repent and surrender to God. And I don't know if you like my sermon or not, but I want you to know tonight that I am not here to accuse you of anything. I'm here to tell you what the Lord said, and that men and women need to repent of their sins. And that Jesus said, unless you repent, you're going to perish. And so, I appeal to you tonight that if you have sin in your heart, and you don't love the Lord, and you don't love to pray, you don't love to read the Bible, you don't love to talk to people about Christ, and you don't really love people to pray for them. And I can tell you that this very day, when I was praying, I found myself praying for people that I'm trying to win to the Lord. And I want to tell you that God can do things that you can't and I can't. But we need to pray. And now, I do think that the Lord didn't have to send quite this much rain this week. But I'm not running things. He is. And I still like the good old thunder and lightning. You know, where you feel like the timbers in your house are shaking. And you feel the crack of lightning and thunder. And that's the God. And I hear people trying to sugarcoat sin. And I want to tell you something. The only thing that will make sin clear up is the blood of Christ. And if you're here tonight and you've never surrendered your heart and you've never repented of your sins, you need to make a complete surrender to the Lord, and you need to get out of the gutter and stay out. And if you don't love to pray, you need to pray that God will help you to want to pray. And if you don't want to talk to people about Christ, you better pray that God will put a burden in your heart so you want to pray. And I just want to say one more thing on this repentance to men. And that is, we need men who are genuinely converted to Christ, who will lead their families and lead their homes. And I want to challenge you men tonight. Read the Word of God to your family and pray together with your family and be a spiritual leader for God. And I thank you for listening tonight. And I hope you can understand that I am concerned about myself, and I'm concerned about you, that you will genuinely yield your life to Christ, and that you will get a genuine love for the Lord. And let me just say this tonight, that you say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, I want to tell you something, that I don't either. And I don't know how to propose to a lady. I don't know. I'm not sure I ever proposed directly to my wife. And you might say, well, boy, you must have a lousy home life and so forth. Well, I don't know. We just started talking about getting married. And so next thing you know, we were getting the preacher to marry us. And, you know, if you want something bad enough, you can figure out how to say it. Does anybody agree with me on that? If you really want, if you know, I love this girl, and I don't know. Like I say, I never did say, as I can recall, Jerry, I would love for you to be my wife. Would you marry me? I don't know. Did I ever say that to you, Jim? And so I don't know what you're going to say to these lost sinners, but I can just tell you this. They need somebody to say something because they need Christ. And so I want to challenge you to think about your life. And I don't know, you guys can figure up how many years I've been preaching. I don't know, because I started in 1948. And so you can do the math. But I'll tell you, we need some people that will genuinely seek the lost. And if you need to repent of any sin in your life, I appeal to you to do it while we stand and sing together number 605.